morning and welcome to our podcast about philanthropy and investments at the Community Foundation, two important and strategic aspects that drive our work and the impact at the Foundation. And this morning we'll be talking a bit about how the two align and they work together. I'm Shifra, I'm Director of Philanthropy at the Community Foundation, and with me is David McCurley from White Rock Capital Partners. David is a trustee of the Foundation and chair of our Finance Committee, and joining us is Lee Yemen, and Lee is Divisional Director of Investec Wynn in Northern Ireland, and she oversees our investments at the Foundation. So morning, David. Morning, Lee. If I can start with you, Lee, you've been in the world of finance and investments for your entire career, but in the context of philanthropy and investments, what trends are you seeing?
I think what we've seen evolving is an increasing awareness around cash balances and excess reserves. Trustees have a duty of care, which they take very seriously, and the environment since the last financial crisis has been one of very low interest rates. Organisations are keen to make their money work harder for them, and it's at this point they then consider investments. And that leads me into my next observation, which would be the increasing interest in ethical investments alongside ESG investing, which is really gathering momentum and quite prominent in the headlines just now. I remember the discussion that we had around the table at Community Foundation, and what really struck me was the strong desire for the investments to align with the organisation and reflect the ethos and the heart of Community Foundation, really what you're all about.
Yes, and David, I think when we took this ethical approach at the Community Foundation, I don't think you were involved at the time, and I wasn't involved at the time, but what's your experience of it since joining the Foundation?
Yeah, I mean, I think the background to in that final jump towards an ethical, both a negative and positive screen within the Foundation was whenever we brought on the Human Rights Foundation Fund in, I think, 2014. I think people like former trustees like Liz Allenby and Joe McKnight, Fred Baffy, people like that were involved in that decision were, if we were going to take such a positive ethical position on one fund, was it right really to kind of not have the same position within the overall Foundation's funds? And I think it was something that they'd been debating for a period anyway, but at that stage, I think the decision was made, well, look, actually, we need to move towards this ethical screen because we believe in what it's saying, and therefore we should make that transition. I think the big challenge at that stage, and I'm sure for other people, is making that jump and having that trigger point that sort of says, right, well, now's the time we're going to do it. And I think for the Community Foundation, fortunately, the Human Rights Fund created a bit of a trigger there that meant that transition was kind of timely. I think from my own perspective, it creates a really fantastic, interesting conversation every year with Investec and the rest of the trustees and the Finance Committee around what is ethical and what does that mean. The concern, obviously, from investors in any shape or form, be that a charity or a private sector body, is making sure you get a return. You know, one of the fundamentals of the investment policy is to generate a return that allows the Community Foundation to do its work. So it's trying to balance that. Your concern is, are you going to give up that return in lieu of an investment, an ethical investment strategy? And I think it's proven out for us that no, that is very much not the case.
And as chair of a committee, a finance committee, and oftentimes, you know, people will have a different perspective on what's ethical and what isn't ethical. How do you chair a discussion like that? Like what guides you? How do you?
You just sit back and let the debate happen. It's almost funnier letting that happen. It's a strange question because, you know, on the face of it, you kind of think, well, it's ethical or it's not ethical. So it's quite black and white, but it's not. You know, simple things like some of the former quite simple negative screens, you know, the bigger ones like armaments, alcohol, human rights violations, tobacco, pornography, you know, even things like tobacco. So, you know, you kind of go, right, well, look, we'll not invest in tobacco companies because we're concerned about the impact that has on health and well-being. But Tesco sells tobacco, so do we now not invest in Tesco's? And I think, you know, you kind of go, oh, well, that's obviously not what we meant, but it is what you mean when you start talking about tobacco and bring it to the fore. So that's where someone like Lee and Investec are invaluable because they help guide that conversation and they kind of break it down into, like, well, what is a, at what stage do we deem the involvement in that sector acceptable or not acceptable, or maybe it's just never acceptable. But it's actually a fantastic debate and a really useful one for the finance committee to engage in.
And you were involved in that debate, Lee, at the time. But I know our finance committee have a policy that guides some of this. So how have you found that, Lee? And then in terms of the performance?
Well, just what David was saying there. So the discussion itself, again, you know, when ethical considerations come into play, you do get into that rich conversation, and it's very emotive. However, I think bringing the focus back to what's right for the organisation is an approach that really helps guide that policy and that decision making, because it removes it sort of from the subjective opinions of the individual and really focusing on what the goals and the objectives of the organisation are. And then, you know, once we've got through that, we get into the granular detail of how, as David said there, how we specifically define each restriction. And that takes that process, you know, further. And then that allows me then to construct the portfolio within those parameters, delivering back to the organisation what they're looking for from the overall investment perspective. And again, that construction process was an incredibly interesting project, because we did have that negative screening, as David mentioned, you know, removing the areas of concern where you don't want to be exposed, and then applying that positive overlay and really, you know, researching and looking for the, you know, actively seeking out the investments and the funds that have the above average rating for the environment, the positive human rights and employee policies, and companies that are showing leadership in project design. And Community Foundation are really on the front foot in this respect. And trustees are very engaged and very interested in the process.
It's really good to know. I mean, I know through my work with other foundations, either through UKCF or ACF, where I'm a trustee, this is a really hot topic at the moment. And I think it's great to be having this conversation, and it'll encourage more. And even, you know, next generation philanthropists think like this as well, and they expect us to look at they will look at how we make our investments, and they will ask a lot more questions than maybe traditionally how this would have worked. But it's good.
Shifra, how do you find it when you're speaking to potential donors and, as you say, philanthropists and others, in terms of do they have any concerns about, you know, I don't think anyone would be concerned about ethically investing. I think that's a generally accepted principle that it would be great to do. But the concern is obviously, are we giving up returns? And I think, as I said, you know, we've demonstrated that we're not. And if anything, it's protected us in certain instances as well. Mm-hmm. But do you find that a challenge or a concern from any of the donors in terms of our investment strategy?
Well, definitely people ask questions. Always they ask questions. And the, you know, question of value versus values, and are you compromising on one for another, does come up. And everybody will take a different approach to that. And generally, I find by their nature, if you're interested in investing in philanthropy and impact in your community, you know, this won't be alien to you to align how you choose to invest your funds. But it does come up, and, you know, how I try to address that is through conversations like this and explain why we do this. And as a community foundation, we have a longer term view on what happens in our community. And that includes how we invest our money, as much as how we support the community on a day to day through grant giving, but also, you know, regular communications with anybody who invests with us. You know, they can see the performance of the investment. And Lee, you very kindly and very regularly will map our investments back against the social development goals, and all of that really helps with this kind of information and communication. And then meeting people like you, David, and you, Lee, who are behind the decisions, you know, all of that helps. So they're not necessarily concerns. I think it's very natural as well, because when you have money to invest, that's not only is it a privilege, but it's a responsibility, you know, and people take that quite seriously. So that's generally how I would address it.
Yeah, that's really good. I think the interesting bit from my perspective is that whilst the overall board of trustees has responsibility for how we manage the investments, they delegate authority to the finance committee to propose investment policy and help work with the investment manager to define the asset allocation. But the interesting bit for me is that we've engaged a professional body like Investec to look at this for us, but we very much hold them to account. You know, we review it, you know, on a very frequent basis in terms of performance, but periodically we review how the manager themselves are performing. But I think the engagement with the manager and the buy-in from the manager, and Lee in particular, means that, you know, if there are any queries or concerns around how the strategy is working, where we need to tweak it, where we need to challenge it, where we might be on the edge of an ethical investment, so even individual equities themselves, mm-hmm. need people to bring those back to the finance committee and have that conversation and explain to us why they either did or didn't make a decision or ask us for our input into that. So I think that's always a really useful mm-hmm. process, Lee. I think anytime we're able to hear about some of those companies that are doing the positive screens, you know, the leadership in product design, the employment policy, human rights actions, all those things, I think from a trustee perspective, it's really comforting to hear that those businesses are doing those things, we're investing in them, and they're growing, and it's a positive sort of cycle there.
Yeah, I think it helps bring it to life as well, you know, for the trustees. If I can sit you know, and have that conversation and that open line of communication with trustees who are genuinely really interested in the discussion, and to provide those examples so that they can really understand what the process behind the portfolio that the organisation has. And again, I do, you know, going back to that sort of value versus value, I think there is a misconception out there that, you know, that the ethical screening can limit the opportunity. And as David said, you know, this hasn't been the case for Community Foundation. And yes, there are areas where you don't want to be exposed, but you're not limiting your opportunity to make good investments in good quality companies and funds.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I wonder how often other, you know, charities in particular actually look at their investments and look at their policies. And is that a trend, Lee, maybe that you're seeing increasing just with all of this debate being around at the moment?
I think trustees have always, well, for quite some time now, you know, again, been very aware of the duty of care that they have, and they do take their position of responsibility very seriously. So the investment policy statement would be typically reviewed every year, and, you know, and they might regularly review the investment manager as well. And the reporting that goes back to the organisations, you know, would be anything from monthly, quarterly, half yearly, annual, really driven by the organisation. But there is definitely an awareness of that responsibility and a genuine desire to put the organisation that they represent really at the heart of that decision making, and to make sure that they are on top of these discussions. And as it evolves, and as the ethical screening and ESG investing you know, it is very topical at the moment and has been evolving, and there's a lot more information out there and research that the individual can do, so that increasing awareness then you know, we can see that driving the discussions more and more. But it's certainly you know, a really interesting area of investment to be involved in.
And I suppose, David, it's probably prudent, you know, to be looking at any maybe conflicts as well within policies or the way we do business in any company, that must be important.
Yeah, I mean, I think on a number of levels, you know, we need to ensure that you know, and I think this is probably some of the routes to making that transition to the ethical strategy as well. As you know, we were very much asking, you know, our donors were very kindly providing funding, and we were giving it to some fantastic causes, but we were holding those causes to account. And, you know, we were holding those bodies to account and saying, look, you know, tell us what you need for make sure it is for the right use. It is for the community. It is for supporting others. It is helping people grow. And then we kind of look at our investment policy and go, well, actually, are we doing that ourselves? And so I think there's very much, you know, there was a conflict there in terms of, look, well, we can't be doing one thing on one side of the table and not behaving that way ourselves. And I think, you know, there's a phrase of reputational risk comes back here. And I don't think reputational risk is an issue if you're acting in the right behaviors in the right way and have the right processes. But reputational risk is very important, because I think if we were investing in a business which just fundamentally had poor human rights practices and standards, and we were aware of that and knew of that and continued to invest there, I think it very much creates a negative reputational issue for ourselves as a foundation, as for trustees. And I think that's coming in across the board, you know, whether it's in an ethical investment strategy or even in some more, some different strategies. I think the reputational risk for the investor is absolutely paramount, because, you know, that's what they built their success on to that point.
Absolutely. And I know even, you know, when we look at new funds coming into our endowment, I mean, we do due diligence on those as well, you know, which is, so we should be doing the same at the other end. So
yeah, and I think just on something that Lee mentioned there, I think, you know, as an accountant myself, the level of reporting from companies has increased and improved. You know, there's very much a boilerplate in terms of types of information you need to release on an annual basis. But I think those companies now that are at the forefront of what it says in their annual accounts and the types of information they give above and beyond what they're required to, helps tell a bit more about the leadership team in that business and the ethos of that business. You know, they talk about the good things they're doing, the things they want to do for their employees, for their supply chain, how they're reviewing supply chains, customers, all these things. And I think they're becoming much more savvy to allow themselves to become a more investable product effectively, and are then catching the eyes of the investment managers, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm. It's a fascinating conversation. Lee, I don't know if you want to add anything to that.
Yes, there is definitely, you know, a focus, as David says, on the information that is out there. And a lot of companies, you have been doing that for a while. But there is, it's not just a box ticking exercise as well. You know, you look at the sort of the actions that stand behind the words as well, and companies are making a genuine effort to get this information out there, because it's also reputation risk to them. Mm-hmm. You know, whenever things go wrong, or how they mitigate their risk factors within that. And the more information that they put out there, then you know, the more there is to screen and read and look at and understand who and what they're all about from the investment perspective.
I mean, it's about transparency and just being authentic as well about what we do. It's a fascinating conversation, and unfortunately we're just out of time, but I want to say thanks a million to both of you for joining me this morning, and anybody who's listening who would like further information on the Community Foundation or on investments or how we do things, please just get in touch. The contact details will be at the end of the podcast. So thank you, David, and thank you, Lee.
Thanks very much, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Shifra. Thanks, David.